rides his pony down life's lane, searching for the why of all the pain he knows. It'll never be the same.
Good afternoon, Lizzie. How are you?
I'm doing well, Legs. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Today is our, I believe, 19th episode. And before we get into the main event that Lizzie's going to talk about, on this episode, I am going to let all our listeners have the information, learn about our definition of punk. We periodically have said this, and we want to make sure that, periodically we say it for everyone, so people just don't think it's about punk music, but it's a little bit more than that. So our Legs and Lizzie's definition of punk is unity, DIY, nonconformity, strength, speaking out against injustice, community, compassion, equality, and peace, and damn good music. And so, we'll do this on future episodes, but hopefully everyone remember that this is something really important to us, and it's a philosophy, and it's an ethos, and it's something we try to live our life by. And now for the main event. Lizzie, you're on. It's all yours, baby.
Thank you. Well, this week is punk farming, and today we're going to be talking about some women farmers, and we knew we wanted to talk about Carmel Bella Farm that we've mentioned a few times, and in thinking about that, I'm going to introduce some other women farmers that I thought you'd be interested in.
Cool.
But the first thing I did, I'm glad you read the punk Legs and Lizzie's punk definition, which is, you know, most people's definition. And we bring up that definition because there's some people out there that have some not so happy definitions of punk, or people may think something's punk. And if it's racist, if it's separatist, if it's anything like that, it's not punk. So that's why we read that. But those words related to farming, the community part, compassion as it relates to the land and people who work in farming, and there's a big movement towards equality and inclusion in farming. DIY, that's like farming is the definition of DIY. And this first farm, Carmel Bella Farm, I know the owner, Lisa Trautner. She has over 100,000 followers on Instagram because Wow. She's not just a farmer, she's also an artist. And so she creates these beautiful photographs with her tomatoes. And she started in Carmel. I know we've talked about it before, but it's just such a beautiful place. And so if you add that to your Instagram feed, it's Carmel Bella Farm. And you'll see lots of beautiful photographs. And then her seeds, which can often be sold out because they're in demand. And those are some of the seeds that we bought this year. And when you read about her story, she promotes organic and this healthy lifestyle. And I won't go into a lot about her particular farm, but she's just created this lovely place in northern Idaho, and just wanted to give her a shout out for both her art and her seeds that she creates. And yay, Carmel Bella Farm. You said you went to the website. What did you think when you checked it out? Well, you've been touching the seeds when we plant our tomatoes.
I touched the seeds, and I can't wait to see them. If they're going to come out and look like the ones she has in her photographs, oh my God. What do they have? The strawberry fields, is that one? It's one that looks like, I don't know, she made a heart out of some tomatoes, and it was just really interesting that she's an artist, so she uses her vegetables as art, And I just thought it was really interesting how she's crafted this life. And if anybody's crafted a slow life, it's her. And to go from Carmel Valley, which is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen in my life, to then Northern Idaho, which is another beautiful place I've seen. You know, what a life. Just from being able to grow these beautiful tomatoes and having that idea of living this lifestyle, you know, she's crafted an amazing life.
Yeah, and in one interview that someone did, she was talking about her two boys eating the vegetables off the vines, and some of them would be kind of half-eaten, but that she just loved that they were eating this fresh food, and it made her very, very happy. And sounds like she really promotes, you know, organic and sustainable farming, which is awesome. Some other women farmers, I found a great article. It's 18 Inspiring Women Farmers You Should Know, and it comes from last March. Foodwise is a farmers market organization, and they have both the Ferry Plaza and the Mission Community Market.
In San Francisco?
In San Francisco. Oh, yeah. And they had a different name. It used to be CUESA, and it was founded in 1994. And so they just did this article to kind of promote some of their farmers. They probably do these articles periodically. And I thought it would be nice to learn about some of them, and they're close to us. It's very inspiring. I was thinking, we're talking about doing some boxes that would be some gift or subscription boxes. And I was interested in telling you about some of these, just getting inspired about these are the types of things we'd want to include if any of these people ever sold to other companies, and to include. So I was excited to tell you about it for that reason. But also just to kind of let it wash over you, just the fact, the diversity of the people, the entrepreneurship, the chutzpah, you know, the punk aspect of starting this business and growing it and serving the people, and that connection to the healthy food. It's really, really, really beautiful. So the Foodwise organization, they do the farmers markets. They have an education component for chefs and for kids, and a whole section of their website on that. Then they also have community food access programs. I think it's similar to what we have here in Colusa. You can use WIC to go to the farmers market. And I was interested to know that one of the things in the history, of course, I'm losing it here. Here we go. In 2009, they became the first, I'll just read it. Ferry Plaza Farmers Market becomes the first farmers market in San Francisco and one of the very first in the country to phase out plastic bags. And the market only allows bags that are fully compostable or recyclable within the city of San Francisco waste collection program, such as compostable and paper bags, and of course, just bringing your bag. But I thought that was cool.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. And also, I didn't, you know, I've gone to that farmers market before, and I didn't know all the other things about it, like mm-hmm. the education or anything they were doing. To me, it was just a farmers market that was really cool in a urban setting,
very, very
by
cool.
the water, you know, near the, you know, the Bay Bridge, you know, overlook. So it's a beautiful place, but
the
I didn't
start
realize.
Of it was, I didn't get into all the details of the history of like when it started related to the Loma Prieta earthquake, but it was right around then, like the freeway came down and something about that.
Interesting.
Maybe at some other point we can get into all of that. But so I was going to, if it's okay, let you know about some of the women farmers.
Let's go for it. I didn't know I didn't know anything about this, so I'm going to know now.
Nice. So one of the women farmers, now these were people that were at the market last March 2023. So I would imagine many are back, and if they're not back, in the show notes, we'll have their website and you can track them down. The first one here is Janet Brown from All Star Organics, and she grows vegetables, and she also has a whole line of dried herbs. And if you go to her website, which is allstarorganics.com, she has these beautiful jars with all these fresh herbs. And you know, a lot of these farmers sell to chefs in the area, and yeah, just looks like a really really cool company. She's been in addition to farming for the last 20 plus years, she's been actively working to create connections in her community through the Marin Food Policy Councils. And she last year was at the Ferry Plaza on Saturdays. Corey Brooks, her company is Brooks and Daughters. And coming from a background as a food scientist, Corey Brooks launched her Sprout business in 1996. And she named it Brooks and Daughters in honor of her two young girls. She's proud of the business and sells 80% of the sprouts, alfalfa, radish, broccoli, and more directly to consumers. And all Brooks and Daughters farming is currently done by women. And she's there Saturdays at the Ferry Plaza. Hopefully she's still there this year. And do you eat sprouts much?
Not really.
So no. In the cupboard, I may pull them out for you, and we'll do some sprouting. I have some nice sprouts, and it's a lot of fun, and it's so healthy, and they're so delicious on salads. And I am a person that just puts lettuce and balsamic and olive oil on my salad, but Aaron is so good about putting all these different things. And so basically, I'll probably get this, you know, slightly off, so please forgive me if I don't have the how-to on it. But basically, you just, I have a couple of containers, and they're ventilated, and you get cloth, and I'm trying to think of the type of cloth it is, but it's the kind of cloth you would use
like cheese,
for...
Cheesecloth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just rubber band it on the top, you put the seeds in there, and you keep them damp, and so every day you'll just open and you put them in a dark cupboard. So in the morning you would just pull them out and you would fill it with water again, dump the water out, and then just make sure they're damp, stick it back in there, and just within a few days you have these amazing sprouts. Yeah. And the problem I've had, it, I was really on it the first couple times I did it, but then after that, if you forget them in there, then all you have are moldy sprouts.
Oh.
So I think you'd be good. You wouldn't forget the sprouts, but I have alfalfa, radish, and so maybe we can
I would be interested in trying it. I sort of had an aversion to it as a kid.
They're so healthy.
I know.
Very, very healthy.
I know. I mean, I eat it in when it's cooked in bread and so forth, but growing up, I had to sort of try to eat it, and but I've changed my taste buds anyway over the years, and I would really like to try it, especially the radish kind.
Yeah, well, if you don't do it, then you can buy them from Brooks and Daughters.
There you go.
Well, this is making me want to... We were going to head to Trips for Kids this weekend, which we haven't really talked about, and made our specific plan, but it'd be fun to go to the farmer's market. The next female farmer is Lorraine Walker from Eat Well Farm, one of the Ferry Plaza Farmers Market founding farms. Eat Well Farms grows a wide variety of fruits and vegetables and sells many specialty products made from the lavender and other herbs they grow. Eat Well also operates a sizable community-supported agriculture CSA program. The founding farmer, Nigel Walker, passed away, and his wife, Lorraine, and the Eat Well family carry on the legacy Saturdays at Ferry Plaza. So I included here what's in their April 1st CSA box. Would you like to know about that?
Of course I would. Lizzie, please tell me what's in their April 1st. And it's not an April Fool's joke, right? It's a real thing.
It's a real box.
It's a real box.
You get shard, and it tells you how to keep it. And oranges, you can keep those on a dish on your counter. Mandarins, And you can also keep those at room temperature or in your crisper drawer. Celeriac, a delicious form of celery that's pretty new to people's kitchens. And it tells you to peel and chop and cook with potatoes and mash a lot with more butter and cream than your mother would. So anyway, it's nice. They have lovely instructions on what to do. Green garlic, parsley, onions, spring onions are the type of onions, fennel, daikon radish, chives, and mustard greens. So doesn't that sound nice to have a box and just have all those things? And what's nice when you have fresh food, you're not, like, we get a recipe, then we go search out the stuff. Sometimes it's not there, sometimes it's not that fresh. Whereas if you cook from a garden perspective, you're getting what's freshest, and then you're cooking from that, which is very cool. I love
that. And also being in San Francisco, I'm wondering, a lot of the people might not have access to this as easily, and they're providing that, right?
Right.
So, you know, in a urban setting, you can get all of this beautiful food.
Mm-hmm. The next female farmer is Ambun Dizi from K&J Orchards. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that. And she's the daughter of Kalayada Amatia and James Butel, the K and the J of K&J Orchards. Her nickname's Boonie, has carried on the family legacy in partnership with her husband Tim, and has been a driving force in marketing the farm and developing their strong following among Bay Area chefs. And the diverse farm has sold its tree-ripened fruits to more than 100 Bay Area restaurants, such as Bennu and French Laundry, in their Saturdays and Tuesdays at the Ferry Plaza. There's a little love story involved. We were next week's Punk Love, and we were doing a little pre-planning yesterday in the car and talking about punk lovers and punk bands and love songs, and so I thought you might like this. We started in 1980 when a registered nurse and pomology professor fell in love. Pomology, is that like, isn't palm apple in French?
That's true, but yeah.
Maybe will you please put your phone on your head and let it tell you what pomology is? What's pomology?
I will find out for you.
They fell in love with admiration for fruit trees. Kalayada and James created K&J Orchards to bring premium quality fruits and nuts into their community. So I just think that's so nice. Oh, the other reason I threw that in is their orchards are in two Northern California towns, Wintered City, Yuba City.
S22.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I didn't know that was on. You asked me to look.
That is Alexa. And Legs has named his phone Bob. Can we just stop this process? Because turning into a boondoggle.
No, but you want to know what pomology is, okay. Actually. Pomology is...
We weren't asking Alexa, though.
I know. Sorry, Alexa. It's the science and practice of fruit production.
There you go. So it's not apples. It is fruit production. So you know what? If our podcast doesn't have any other value, I think that was
there. Great. You go.
High five.
There you go. I'm sorry about the little,
it's fine. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
The next female farmer is Maura Kuhn of Marin Roots Farm. And having previously worked at County Line Harvest, Maura Kuhn now farms at Marin Roots Farm in Petaluma with her husband, Jesse. She's helped build the farm's restaurant clientele while innovating and helping to develop the farm's niche with specialty crops like edible flowers. Why does she love farming? I love the challenge, and I love that farming is all-consuming. It's your entire life. Saturdays at the Ferry Plaza. Now, what do you think about that aspect, that farming is all-consuming? Does that scare you off?
No. Like, I've always had this dream of being a farmer, so no, it would be actually something that I would embrace. And I could see how somebody who might have come from another field and might be a little bit of a perfectionist and we're not doing that anymore, we're just going to be good enough, would, you know, try to do our best. And if you're selling to restaurants in the area that she's living in the Bay Area, you have to have a good product. And so, yes, I can see how it would be all consuming.
Nice. Yeah, so then they have a website. It looks like a homespun blog that's been around for a bit. We'll put that in the show notes, where Jesse, your husband, you know, started this farm, and he found the land by doing a land wanted ad in a local newspaper and finding 15 acres on a goat dairy ranch just outside of the city of Petaluma. And he grew up, his grandmother had a large garden, and he went to Humboldt, and he worked for several years at a student-run CSA farm that he later went on to manage. So he learned that. Then he returned to Marin, and he met his wife, Mara, and they run the farm together. And so that kind of leads me, I thought I'd do a side comment, side little mini. It's not a commercial because we don't have any paid advertisers. But California Farm Link is a great organization that helps link farmers and land. And if you're looking for land, you can go on and register. You can also search their database for people who may have a little area they want to lease, or they bought this because they want to be out in the country and realize that they don't have the time to farm it. Mm-hmm. And so they might post it. Also, here's a great idea, where whatever communities you're thinking of, you know, maybe on, I don't know where you'd post it these days, because there used to be newspapers back then.
But exactly.
Maybe even Craigslist has that.
He lucked out, because I'm guessing he got land in western Petaluma, and there's no way, that in 2003 I would understand, but nowadays there would be no way. But
don't
you could ever
so negative. No, but I'm think that's true.
No, but I'm saying under those
under those terms,
under those methods. Okay. In other words, you have to be more resourceful and figure out another way of doing it. It's not
well,
saying
that was resourceful, and not everyone. And by being resourceful, he got that. So California Farm Link is trying to facilitate that.
And that's what's great about having that. That's what I'm trying to say.
But a flyer in a cafe might not do a thing, but it could. The right person sees it and you have the right message. So anyway, you never know how the universe is going to bring those people together, and I know you believe that.
Correct.
So whether it's when the intention's set to find the land and just work
it out. I'm just giving him props for being able to do that. You know, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's so awesome. But I know that things can be more challenging, but when we say, oh, that's a common thing for people to say, oh, that's what it was back then. And I know that there are many things that were different back then, but that doesn't mean we can't
look at
find
us
a plot of land. And,
we don't believe
it work. Sandy and Sarah McGinnis, they're an aunt and niece team. They took over Sandy's father's farm, and they have been ushering in a new era by transitioning to organic and experimenting with new crops and cut flowers. This is a quote, giving back to the land, but also providing people with fresh food feels good at the end of the day, says Sarah. I think a lot of people think that it would be a thankless job, but it is not at all. I couldn't ask for more. I thought that was a beautiful quote, and they're at the Ferry Plaza on Saturdays. Marsha Habib, and we're almost to the end here. You're hanging in there with me?
You bet. I'm very interested. I didn't know all this.
It's inspiring, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I didn't know all this was the background for this, you know, this farmer's market that I would just go to because I wanted decent food. So, yeah.
That's cool. And we're planning on hopefully growing our garden into a farm, so it's inspiring. So Marsha Habib is with Oya Organics, and the website is oyaorganicfarm.com. And she started farming as a one-woman, one-acre operation to serve her community and create urban and rural connections. And it gradually grew to more acreage as her partner Modesto and other people joined the farm. And now they run a fully diversified farm with about a dozen employees. I don't want to get big and just keep growing and growing, she says. I want to be at a scale where I know every acre of the farm and have a personal relationship with the plants and the employees.
And that's what we were talking about yesterday, you know, the other episode about people doing a, you know, their own farming in their front yard. Mm-hmm. You know, in a way, that's what she's doing in a little bit bigger scale. Mm-hmm. And that's punk. To me, that's punk, you know, so anyway.
Yep, that's art. Punk. So from Hollister, California, their website says, if we haven't met you at the farmer's market yet, hi and hola. We're Marcia and Modesto, owners of Oya Organic Farm. At Oya, we use agroecological farming practices learned and perfected in California and Oaxaca, Mexico, along with philosophical influences from Japan.
Hmm.
Our diverse, so it would be wonderful to meet her and just find out what those are. Our diverse background influences, not only what we farm, but how we farm. So there's little bios on the website. Marcia's is descendant of a rice farming family in Okayama, Japan, and Egypt. There you go. There's the Japanese philosophy. An Oya crop that makes me think of my roots is one of the things on the bio. For her, it's Japanese eggplant and fava beans. The farm project I'm always trying to get to, never-ending weeding. And then her partner, Modesto Sanchez Cruz, is a descendant of a low-input subsistence farming family. Subsistence, sorry. It's late in the afternoon. It's not that late.
You said that really well. I couldn't have gotten that out.
Subsistence. Thank you. Subsistence. I know the word.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop saying it. Yeah. A farming family in Oaxaca, Mexico. An Oya crop that makes me think of my roots. Chipiche, an Oaxacan herb that grows wild where I grew up. The farm project I'm always trying to get to, planting a fruit orchard. And they've been certified since 2012, but we're getting towards the end, and I'd really like to read this this part. And as first and second generation immigrants, we bring knowledge from our family's farming backgrounds and apply them to this soil, where we are the first in our families to own a farm in this country. It's garbage day here, so Teo is on alert. Our fields in Hollister, California are a tapestry of color and texture with over 50 different crops growing at a given time. This intentional biodiversity provides habitat for native insects and wildlife and allows microorganisms in the soil to flourish, making for nutrient-rich and flavorful produce. By building healthy soil, we also can further concentrate flavor with dry farming some crops and reducing our water usage overall. We see our organic certification with CCOF as a starting point, not a marketing tool. Our commitment to environmental stewardship goes beyond what is required of us as we work to nurture and enhance ecological equilibrium. And on their website, they show their boxes. So for about $30 for a single person or $45 for a family, you can get fresh fruit and support your local farmer. And I just said kind of just what you said on your own. I put a phrase, it's DIY, it's community, it's unity, it's punk. And this little part where they're talking about organics, the starting point, and it's not just a stamp. And John Kemp's, you know, Regenerative Agriculture podcast talks about this all the time. And all of these, it's so inspiring, these people that are creating these ecological environments with their crops and taking things to the next level and just, you know, walking the fields and knowing what's there and making a difference because you're in actually walking in a healthy field versus in a air-conditioned cab spraying toxic chemicals on the food.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry I had to end that way, but
no, actually this is the one partnership that actually really spoke to me. All of them did, but this one especially. It would be wonderful just to sit and have over dinner and just hear their conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, a fly in the wall to hear what they had to say. Yeah. I bet you they're really cool people, and they just have a philosophy. And these are the individuals that nobody hears about, right? They're not big corporations. They don't make the news all the time. They're just doing something really special for the world. And the people that know about them and learn about them realize that. And and know how special they are, and that's why they just keep continuing to thrive. But they themselves are keeping them at a size that they want to be at, and that's something that, like you said, it's completely punk in the definition there.
Thank you.
Great presentation.
Oh,
I learned something too.
That presentation.
Well,
just,
you know,
doing our thing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, we will see you next time. And
thanks everyone
for
listening. Yes, thank
Punk
you.
Farm.
Love life. Bye everyone.
Rogers pony down life's lane, searching for the wild of all the pain.
Thank you for listening to the Legs and Lizzie Punk Farm Love Life podcast. Please subscribe to get notified of new episodes. We'd love to have you as part of the Legs and Lizzie family. It really helps us if you also leave a review.
You can support the podcast by becoming a Legs and Lizzie patron at patreon.com. Just search Legs and Lizzie. You can become a member for as little as $5 a month. Podcast music is by Lizzie's brother, who goes by Squint Todd and the Horse Thieves. See the show notes for links to other things we mentioned.
Be safe and happy until next time.
Do stuff, make stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk, plants.
We don't need much, we just need each other.
There's a coyote bawling in the pouring rain. Sometimes he thinks he can feel his pain, he knows it'll never be the same. His old black dog just tags along and listens while he sings his song. Love is all she knows. On and on they go. Oh, strangers cry, lonelier than pissed out wine. There's no wonder why he's bound to drift along. To the heavens, his only friend alone. On the widest train he's riding, so damn few of all. There's jimson weed and tumbleweed. Join the crowd. Let the hyena circling laugh out loud. There ain't no way. Lord knows he had his day. Oh, strangers cry. Here it has to happen, let them fight.